Welcome to Business Unfiltered, where we dive into the raw and unfiltered world of running a business with Mercer and Jeff Sauer.
Welcome back to Business Unfiltered. It's Mercer, and I'm here with my buddy, my pal, my partner, Jeff Sauer. We're talking today all about learning more versus doing more. And essentially, that just means training versus action and having the balance between those two. So, Mr. Sauer, what do you think about when you're thinking about training versus the actual action, the doing part of that?
Yeah, I was thinking this is pretty cyclical, and it might be surprising to hear that, but I think sometimes you need to be in learn mode and sometimes you need to be in action mode, and you need to find the balance between them in order to do well, because doing more is not always the answer. Learning more is definitely not the answer. There's extremes you can take in either one that will get you out of whack. And so I look at it as more of a balance thing, and just between like, when do I need to learn and when do I need to do, and how should I incorporate that into what I do in my career, my business, everything? How about you? How do you think about that?
Yeah, I really do. I think the action is like, you know, that to some extent there's like that hustle muscle that kicks in, but it can be overused and people are taking action, action, action without learning how to sharpen the saw, so to speak, right? And kind of using that trope because it's important. You've got to improve your skills or else that hustle muscle just gets overused, overworked, and will eventually break down if you're not helping to improve that. But at the same time, there's what I think is, I kind of think about like an addiction to hope is the learning all the time thing. Where it's like, well, if I constantly learn and I constantly think about all the new ways that I can get this thing done or be successful or all the other things, if I'm always seeing that as a possibility and I never actually step foot in the arena, then I can always maybe win one day until I go in the arena and then I get, you know, your butt kicked sometimes. You get kicked in the teeth occasionally. Like that's just what happens in business. That's okay. It's part of the process. But a lot of people won't take action because they're afraid of that feeling of being wrong, of not being able to do the thing that they think everybody else around them can do. And so they go back and they could jump into the books or the courses or the coaching or whatever the thing is and just keep learning, learning, learning without actually doing it. And I think the mistake there is that they're being exposed to new information without actually practicing any skills. So they don't actually have the skills. They've just seen other people demonstrate skills or talk about skills that they might have, but that doesn't mean that I have the skills. So you have to actually do both. On that. That's kind of how I think about the balance.
100%. It is, you need a combination of things. You need to learn, you need to do. Doing makes for more learning. It's funny, like you and I just went to a mastermind group. And mastermind groups often happen quarterly. They happen, there's monthly ones, there's weekly ones, but a quarterly in-person meeting is to me the perfect learning opportunity because it's a dense set of learning. We learned over 3 days, a ton of techniques. I took so many notes. Like we have so many things that we can use. I need like 3 months to implement that and to get it in place. So what I think is a good cadence was I went 1 week learning, 1 week reflecting, which happened to just coincide with a vacation. And I actually think that's a good thing to take a vacation after learning a lot and just writing down your thoughts, putting it on paper and stuff like that. And being one of the, I know you do that too, Mercer, where you learn something and then you stay an extra day just to put your reflections down and to codify it and to put it into the system. So that's actually on the grid, not just in your head. That's really important. And then the next several months implementing that thing. And so that lends itself really well to quarterly priorities as well. I think having monthly priorities is really challenging for anybody because you can't really learn and do in a month. You can learn or do, but you can't complete something. So quarterly is to me like the right amount of time to do this thing. You learn for a couple of weeks or you do an intense thing and then you spend the rest of the next 60 to 90 days implementing it and learning what you're doing and getting that feedback. And then you go back to learning how to take it to the next step, right? So if you do it in a linear way, it can sort of help you level up. That's ultimately the leveling up action that's there. Now at the same time, a lot of us feel like we don't have time to do that, or we have to go back and forth between things. But those are the people who don't actually grow. Like you don't actually grow if you don't have a balance between learning and doing. If you're only doing, then you find that you're a dinosaur. It's like the people who are still saying, I want to sell you directory links, you know, for SEO, or I want to, you know, we'll buy links from a directory. It's like that hasn't worked for 15 years. Those people are just doing, they're sending out spam messages and they haven't taken the time to upgrade what they're thinking about. versus people who are always learning. They're the people who are the ones who were affiliate marketers. Then they were crypto marketers. Then they were now it's Web3. Then they're the AI people, and now they're going to be the next AI people, right? Those are the ones who are always in learning mode, and they're always like going to the next level and hoping this is the next big thing. The reality is the next big thing is that synergy between doing and learning. How about you?
Yeah. I agree. There's like there was this like this idea back in the day that I used to have this useful belief that I really needed to be right. And I think it was like a control thing for me, to be honest, right? Where it was like, I want to learn a bunch of stuff and I want to be right about the decisions that I make. And I enjoy that feeling when I get those wins of being right. But the challenge with that is you're just less confident sometimes in the world on what you're going to be right on. And if the useful belief is, hey, I've got to be right all the time, and that's what you believe, you're less likely to take action because there's going to be a lot less things that you fully are confident you're going to be right on. And so I've switched that, where my useful belief now is that it's not about being right. It's just about being a little bit less wrong, each time. I know I'm going to be wrong. So it's not about that. It's not about reading the book or using the technique or applying the learning that I've gotten, however I've gotten it, and doing it exactly that way. That's a win, right? So for example, like you take a course on, let's have, how many of these are out there? $1 million launch, right? It's not about making $1 million in your next launch. That would be the old me saying, I've got to be right about this. I've got to do $1 million launch. But that's a heavy lift. But if I take that $1 million launch model and look at it for what it is and go, okay, well, maybe I don't do $1 million. That's okay. I'll just be a little bit better than I am now, which means in my head, a little bit less wrong, right? I don't have to be right. I just have to be a little bit different than where I am, a little bit bigger, better version of myself, in some way to make some progress. I'm more likely to take action. And then of course, when I do take the action, I actually start building true muscle, not just the intellectual sort of being exposed to the new ideas, but now they're starting to become integrated into my own skill set. And in that, I'm going to experience feedback, right? You and I reference as that rough result, right? Where it's revealing useful feedback. And so I get that. And then I go, okay, well, let me go back to the course, go back to the book, go back to the coaching, go back to the learning. And then now I'm looking at it with a different set of eyes because I have muscle now, a little bit more muscle. So now I read it differently, or I experience it differently at a bigger level. And I go, oh, now I see where my mistake was there because I have the experience to show me that I can actually makes that mistake more visible. And so then you level up and I can go a little bit more or less wrong, the next time, and I lead to action. And that's really helped me to keep the balance, because being less wrong means you have to improve. There's only one way to improve, which is learning and trying new things. Mm-hmm. So that's the balance there. But because I'm willing to be less wrong, it naturally leads into action, because how do I know if I'm less wrong without taking action? So that sort of useful belief helps to counterbalance the two.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because I believe that is sort of how life goes, is that, like, for example, you can read a business book when you're in year one of being in business for yourself or in employment, and you'll get one meaning out of it. You can read the same thing again 5 years later and it'll be different.
So true.
And so revisiting things is really important, whether it's a program you took or anything, right? Revisiting something with the level you're at right now, you'll get different insights. Like, that's sort of how I decided to create my Profit Pillars program, was that way. I basically was like, I want you to go through this today and you'll get one thing. If you go through it again 90 days later, you'll be a different person. You'll go through it differently and you'll pick up on different things and you'll get different meaning from it. And I know a lot of things you do, especially what we're trying to do at Profit School, is that, like, we're trying to make it so that you can go through this thing and you'll always want to revisit it, because it's actually better than doing a different training. It's just that you're learning more about yourself, right? From the doing that you've done. And so that's that balance that I was talking about there. And I really believe in that. Like, I couldn't have had this podcast however many years ago. I couldn't have had the conversations with you however many years ago, unless I went through that stuff, if I built that muscle. And it gets more natural, it gets easier, right? Do I nail it every time? No, but I am definitely getting I do better at it. You and I are doing these meetings and I'm like, I got this, Mercer. And you and I do things and you're like, I got this, Jeff. And that is really cool to know that. And it's like, it's confidence that comes through doing and learning. You learn it, you do it, you implement it, you reflect. That's how we are leveling up. And honestly, Mercer and I think are going to level up more in this decade than we did in the previous decades. A lot of people think, oh, I've already done that, right? Like, I'm a lifelong learner. I want to learn forever. I want to keep on leveling up. Like, I might be at level 40 right now in business. I think we can get to level 80 to 100, right? Am I scared as hell as to what that's going to be? Yeah. I'm actually really scared about, I have doubt all the time that I'm a level 80 entrepreneur, but that's because I'm thinking about skipping from 40 to 80. If you do it gradually, if you go a level 41, 42, like that's how you become a level 80. It's the next 40 levels that you go up from, right? That's really important to know. Now, if you're at level one, then think about the things you need to do to get to level two, right? Like that's it, right? Don't think like level 80, you can't compare somebody who's on level 40, level 80. It's just not the same game to be playing. And then just thinking about it, like sometimes things can be as simple as just learning one thing will make a big difference for you. And that's what we call inflection points, right? Learning and doing it's really an inflection point in your business. I learned this thing. I implemented it. I had an inflection point. That's usually the result of it. You learn and then you do, and then you have an inflection point, right? You learn a mistake. Like this is every business. That's how Facebook was. They learned that they could do something. They learned something. They did it. They had an inflection point, right? They learned that they're not going to be able to sell ads like through banner ads. They learned that if they get users, they'll get money. And then they had the inflection point. Like that's how these things work, right? You learn something, you do it, you get an inflection point. And, you know, then you see like, you know, this is pretty common for beginners is there's a million programs out there geared towards beginners. Like you're only one funnel away. You need to do this challenge if you can do this one thing. And that is true. Like that could be your inflection point. But the inflection point only happens from the doing. And that's so important that I just want to keep on emphasizing that over and over again is that you are only one funnel away, but it's you have to learn how to build a funnel and then you have to really master the funnel. And it won't be, you know, it's one funnel away from going to level two. You're always one step away from going to the next level is what I would say from that perspective. Yeah. So go ahead and I sort of got a little rambly there, but that's sort of like where I'm thinking is like you're always one step away from going to the next step, but we often dream or get intimidated by 5-10 steps away. That's not the game anybody's asking you to play. And actually, if you leveled up that fast, you know what would happen is it would all implode. It would fall apart because you don't have that baseline. You don't have that muscle like Mercer's talking about.
Yeah, it's a really good point because it's like the learning, if it continues too much, you are learning beyond what your skill is able to deliver to you. Now you start getting intimidated and it actually hurts you to continually learn more. That's a really good point. I hadn't thought about it like that, but as you were speaking about it, sort of crystallized for me. You know, the other thing, and there's one of aspect of this, which is the internal systems that we use as entrepreneurs and business owners. Then there's the dealing with this with team members, which sometimes I get right, sometimes I get wrong. But I think it's worth the discussion here because that is a behavior that I used to appreciate when somebody was wanting to learn a bunch of stuff. And I'd be like, oh, that's awesome. And I think you and I both have this where we have that inner teacher that just goes, yes, I'm loving that you're learning new things. Let's teach you more and teach you more and teach you more. But there's that opposite side of it, which is actually the doing. Are you getting the results from all of this? Because it's not about learning new things and being able to talk a good game, which a lot of people do because it's so easy to make it look like you know what you're talking about when you're repeating someone else's words that you learned to say, right? Because you kind of blend in with the crowd of everyone else who actually is doing it, and except that you don't have the muscle. You know, everyone else has got muscle around you, but you don't, and or that person doesn't. So from a management perspective, it's kind of where I was curious of where you take this. Looking for that in the team that either, you know, that we're managing doing that, right? Using our own experience, looking at that in the team and saying, because I've made this mistake where, you know, we had people that were really good at learning new things, at coming, you know, with ideas, but it wasn't their idea. It was them repeating something they learned. So, and I took it as skill. I misinterpreted it, right? Yeah. So it's like, they were coming to me saying, oh, let's do this, because this other thing says to do that. And I was like, cool. I would be like, that's their action, right? That they're taking action. And I would interpret it like that. But really they were just repeating words. They hadn't actually internalized it. You know, it's cool that they recognized it. Don't get me wrong. I think that's awesome. But it was the action steps of, okay, go like do that and tell me what results you got from it. You know, type of thing. What does that actually look like in the real world? Because what was happening was, and this was, you know, over the last couple of years, I had this issue, you know, before we partnered up, I'd had this where I think there was a little bit of like, I got caught up in like, okay, there's action there when there wasn't, it was just learning. And when when we tried to do stuff, it became my problem to solve all of a sudden. Like they would rely on my action to make it happen because I had the muscle built because yeah. I do take action. And they weren't taking action, actual action. And I found myself having to come, that's where it's like all of a sudden, you know, in Profit School, we talk about the wagon wheel, right? Where it's like the entrepreneur is in the middle and the team is actually delivering work to you. And that's what every entrepreneur creates in the beginning, everyone. It's just the initial system that happens. But I felt that and I was cognizant of that. It's like, well, if I don't take action on this, if I don't come up with the next new idea or offer or pitch or whatever the thing is, nothing's going to happen. But I'm going to take the conversation I have on the person who's learning all this stuff, and then I'm the one taking action on it, not them. When it was actually their problem to solve, not mine, you know, and I had, they had delivered work to me and I took it, which was the mistake I made as the entrepreneur, as a manager in that particular scenario. But I'm curious, like, how do you, because I think that's harder sometimes. It's like the next level of this, right? First is doing it within yourself. And that's a decision and that's a practice. And then you get easier and easier and easier to do it on your own. But working with your team, with, you know, VAs or anybody that's got teammates that they're working on any way, shape or form, or what that looks like, how do you deal with that?
Yeah, it's not the easiest thing, right? So, and you know, I don't always have 100% success rate on it. So just want to preface it by saying that, but there are things you pick up over time. And that is, you know, like, you know, we just did performance reviews, right? And ask people what they want to do, like, where's your 5-year plan? And then you have to take that and understand, does that fit into our 5-year plan? Because not everything works. And then like, how much do I want to develop this person and help them reach their goals versus how much do I want the company to reach their goals? And generally speaking, there will be a compromise on one side, right?
Or yeah. You know what? I just want to pause on that for a second, because that's a really good evaluating sort of belief, right? Like, so yes, this is good for the person, but is it good for the company? Because if it's not good for the company, it's going to hurt everybody.
Yeah.
And there is that, what's that called? The trolley car, you know, experiment where it's like, hey, you know, the trolley's going to hit this one person and you can save them, but the accident is going to kill 30
prisoners
people.
Prisoner's dilemma is what they call it.
Yeah, that sort of stuff. It's like, you know, that is a tough thing to deal with emotionally from a management perspective. It just is. But I think it's important because not realizing that I skipped that. I didn't skip it. I wasn't aware that I was skipping it. Let's say that I made the decision. I just wasn't aware that I was making that decision. So I think it's important to pause there and say like, wow, that is something you have to consider. Is this better for them? Awesome. But if it's better for them and the company, that's the win.
Yeah.
If it's better for them and it hurts the company, then that's you got to go with
the
company.
You can't do it, right? You got to get thick skin. Yeah. And the funny thing is like, yeah, I mean, so you have to think about this all the time. And like even now being a parent, same thing. It's like, you know, my kid wants to sleep in the same bed as us. And it's like, that might be good temporarily, but that's not good for anybody long-term. Right. Then they get it's bad for them long-term given they want sugar, giving them too much sugar is not good. It's like and the funny thing is we think that being the bad guy or gal is like going to be like a bad thing. Nobody like actually no, being just being the bad cop is good. Like just saying, no, we need to do this thing and giving parameters. That's what management is. Right. So for example, like a lot of people come to me and say, I want to be this. And then I'm like, well, you have no actions whatsoever that show me that you're going to do this thing. Right. So it's like, what I'll do is I'll humor them like, oh yeah. Hey, you want to learn how to be a salesperson? Okay. I bought this course on sales. There's 3 books here. Read those books and then tell me what you learned and tell me what you want to do about it. And if they don't come back and read those books, then they don't really want to be a salesperson. What they really want is they want more money for free. They want more money without doing the work, right? Like that, like, and then you're like, okay, well, guess what? You're going to be in the role that I'm paying you for right now because you're not doing this thing. So that is that's a minimum way of doing the development. It's like you humor them, you tell them, hey, you want to get good at sales? That's amazing. Here's the 3 books that I read that changed my mind on sales. Tell me what you learned from them and tell me how you would apply that to our business. And if they can't do that, then there's absolutely zero chance that it's going to work.
Yeah, I love that. Because in a very real way, learning is the first, like all of this is action, right? Yeah. Learning is an action step. Yeah. But then if they're not willing to do that, then it's like, okay, well then, like you said, you don't really want to do the thing. You just want the results that the thing brings. And who doesn't? I also want to win the lottery.
Yeah, I want that too.
Right?
Yeah.
Like everybody wants that. Yeah. But you have to practice and you have to get skills and you got to be willing to be uncomfortable as you're learning that. And that's what we're talking about when we mean like real action of practicing of the stuff that you've learned.
Yeah. Well, it's funny because it's so easy for me to see it for people, for things that you bring to me. And it's so easy for you to see it for things that I bring to you.
Yes.
You are actually the one that suggested this to me 2 days ago, if you believe it or not, about something that we are going through. I was like, hey, this is what's happening here. You're like, here's how you need to handle it. And I was like, brilliant. I did it. And then we immediately got the result we were looking for. And I'm being a little bit vague, but it's like one of our team members, we wanted them to get better at something. Mercer's and I gave him a bunch of suggestions that Mercer suggested to me. And then he did it that night. And the next day he was like, I'm like a changed man. Like, it was amazing. Like, that's how quickly that happened. Now, I avoided it because I didn't want to be the bad guy, because I didn't want to damage the relationship. But also sometimes when you're objective and you're like, I don't really, you know, like, you don't have to worry about the relationship. It's like, what's good for the business? And so that's what I value so much about our partnership, is that I'm learning how to tell you how to tell people that you are managing to do it better. And you're learning to tell me how to do that better. And that's that candor that you really need. And that's sort of how you can get better at internal. Like, I might not crack the whip as hard, but when somebody else who doesn't have the emotional attachment to it says you need to do this thing, then it's like, oh yeah, we have to do this thing. That's obvious. Yeah. Right. So that is a good thing to have, a good cop, bad cop, if you want to call it that, or to have roles that are responsible for that, or have that level of relationship, because that's how things get better, right? It's like a personal trainer versus just going into a gym. Somebody goes into the gym themselves, or they watch YouTube videos, they're not going to know what to do, and they're not going to get the result they're looking for. The coach is who you need to get these things going. And you know, a coach who's friendly to you is not a good coach. A coach who wants to be your best friend does not challenge you. If they call you out on your BS, and those are the ones who are going to give you the results you're looking for. And that's, you know, sort of sometimes, you know, you have to be like a coach for your team members and give them the advice and be like, hey, here's this, watch this video, tell me what you learned. And if you don't do it, then what I need you to do is I need you to tell you what roadblocks are in the way that you can't do this thing. Is this that you say you want to do this thing, but you can't get there? Or what's the real root of the problem? Is it really busyness? Because people always use busy and perfectionism as a problem. Is your problem that you're a perfectionist, or is your problem that you're really busy, or is your problem that you're afraid? Once you get to the root of that problem, they can learn even better. Like, learning is simple, yeah. Right? Doing is simple once you get to the root of that problem.
Yeah. And I think, you know, bringing it back to our personal experience, very recently, you know, we were at this mastermind group and it's a pricey investment, for this group to be a part of it. And you and I were talking, prior to going that, you know, hey, maybe I don't know if we're going to continue this or not. It doesn't, you know, it's a reasonable investment. So I don't know if we're going to get the return on it. And we kind of went in, I know I certainly did, going in with like, okay, this is going to be the last time we're here. We'll let them mm-hmm. know, you know, but we'll get it whatever we can out of it on our way out the door. And one of the first things we started with, to their credit, when they ran this, was like, okay, what does everybody want out of this? And what are we trying to get? And we had brought up this concept of this paradigm shift of, you know, we cannot be where we currently are, yet we've got to get to this, you know, 10X, 100X, 1000X thinking. And how do we make that quantum leap? Because you sort of have to jump tracks mentally. You can't just keep going down the same track and iterate your way there. You've got to jump to a different track to get a result that is that big. And this relates back to this learning versus doing thing, right? That's, you know, learning more versus taking action on the stuff that you know you should be doing and just haven't. Was, you know, he basically came back and hit us with like, because we are successful. Like, we have on paper, we have in public, we have successful brands, successful companies. We are known in our respective industries, right? So all of this is working and it is good. It is very, very good. And he came back and was like, you all won't do this very basic step that everybody else here in the room is doing, which is essentially being able to, you know, to bring it back to brass tacks, was paid traffic and being able to literally turn up and turn down the dial. We have figured out all sorts of other ways to get our companies built that works incredibly well, but we haven't been able to figure that one out where we can, you know, turn up, turn down the dial like others have. Meanwhile, other companies have figured out how to turn up, turn down the dial. They have not figured out all the stuff that we had. Yeah. Right. And so that's why we are where they are, because we just got really good at this other stuff. But instead of really practicing that and going, oh, it's going to get uncomfortable, it's going to require budget, it's going to require difficult decisions, and it's going to require like uncomfortable skill set builds where we're going to be wrong. And that's okay. We just got to get through it and dealing with that. And him calling us out on that and sort of saying like, hey, this is the piece that you're missing. This is why, if you guys just snap this piece on that you keep skipping over, you know, this will this will give you that paradigm shift. And it was like, wow, we're not doing the stuff that we have learned to do because we know how to run paid traffic. We know how to create offers. We know all the different tactics. Like, it's not like we don't know that stuff, but we're not actually building the skill for it. And then meanwhile, we overcompensate, or not overcompensate, but we've definitely compensated with, you know, podcasts and hosting and speaking and webinars, and all this stuff that we are very good at. So again, not taking anything away from those, we keep doing those. But seeing this is an opportunity for us to go like, hey, here's where we need to take a little more action, which we've both been working on. And within that first hour, I know both you and I looked at each other and were like, okay, well, we're staying in this thing. Yeah, we're staying. You know, like it was like done. And it was because, like you said, you needed that fresh pair of eyes, that trainer, right? That personal gym trainer to say, hey, the reason you're not building muscle is because you watch that YouTube video, but your arm is off by half a degree. And if you shape it like this instead of that, and now you feel the burn of the muscle and you're like, oh, okay, I see what I'm doing wrong. And you need that fresh pair of eyes, you know, whether it's a coach or mastermind group or, you know, some course or something to help you look at things differently. So I just wanted to kind of to share that just from our personal experience that we're going through in real time. Plus, I love the idea of listening to this episode a year from now and revisiting it and saying, hey, remember when we talked about this? And here's how we're doing it at this new level now, because I certainly feel that on the way, which is great. Like, I feel the action. We're all taking action on that. It's nice to lead by example.
Yeah. I'm like, I'm calling the snake for a new round of learning and a new round of growth. And I realize as you were saying that like the root of everything is fear.
Yeah.
The root of all of our challenges is fear. And that is that we somehow choose the harder thing because we're afraid of the easy thing. And you and I do that because of our one. We're very technical. We're very tactical. We're very hands down. We're very expert. We're very consultative. We're very nurturing. We have empathy for people. And we had a past that you and I talked about at this mastermind, like how we, you know, we talked about it in an episode too, about how we both had some challenges financially growing up, or, you know, let's just call it growing up, right? That led to some of the decisions we make. We tend to underinvest in the easy things because we don't want to be, we see easy money go away. Like, we've seen easy money come and go. So we don't want to be the easy money people. But like that mastermind really reset our thing to be like, okay, I get it, but you're also actually, your fixation on this principle is what's holding you back from getting the thing that you think that you are. And that was like just a punch right in the face, which I loved. It was like, it wasn't like a punch in the face that like knocked me down and I was out for the count. It was like a slap. It was like get going, Jeff, you know, get going. Yeah. Like, let's do this thing. Like, you know, wake up and smell the coffee. Right. And it was amazing. And I was like, this is great. And then the fear led to, I mean, fear often leads to analysis paralysis. Again, is like the reason why you have fear is because you're like, I'm afraid of what's next. I'm afraid of going from level 40 to level 80. And you're like, okay, do I need to learn how to go to level 80? Or do I need to do level 41? And that is the thing that it's like devil on your shoulder. Like, I don't know. Like, we're actually in between episodes, Mercer and I do these episodes two at a time. And I told him my fears. I was like, I'm afraid of this, Mercer. Can you help me talk you out of this thing? And you're like, actually, consult the mastermind that we're talking about, because that is like, you need the hive mind to a certain extent. You need to get over your fear to talk to somebody who leveled up to level 50 to level 80. Like, that's the thing, is we hired level 80. We hired somebody who's like level 95 probably. Right. And we're like, okay, well, guide us, show us your ways. And sometimes he's like, hey, here, I'm giving you levels 41 through 50. Here you go, in your pocket. You bought it from me. The other one is like, I'm going to help you get to these other things. And that's really sort of where we're at, is like, you know, you level up by learning, and then you have to address your fears head on. Otherwise, you will always be in the same spot. And actually, that's what sort of can describe what got us to where we were. Fear got us to a pretty successful business and being by all means successful people. But it's actually getting over that fear that's going to be the next level of growth for us. And then we'll probably get new fears. But those ones, I think those future ones are easier for me to address, because I've already addressed those. It's this fear right in this area that I've had the trouble with. And so this is pretty therapeutic for me.
For me too, man. This is just unlocks of stuff. Cause it's like, I have done the same thing. I've been afraid of the easy and instead did the hard because I knew I could. It's like, oh no, the bigger challenge is anybody can run traffic. That looks so simple. Let's do it like this instead, in this much more complicated, robust way, and still arrive at the same spot because that makes me feel better.
Yep. Right.
But in reality, it's because I'm afraid that I can't do the easy thing. And it's like just being able to look at that and admit that maybe, just maybe, that's what the answer is, right? Again, this goes back to that useful belief of, you know, there's a possibility that I am wrong. So, literally in my head right now, there's a part of me going, no, that's not true at all. And I'm going, yeah, but maybe it is. You know, did you look at it at least? Would you at least look at the possibility that that is true? And the second I do, I go, oh, okay, yeah, yep. Actually, it is true. That was it. You're right. But the second you see the actual problem, the bridge appears to solve it, which is kind of the beauty. Problems do not come without solutions. That's the only reason they're there. Solutions don't come without problems. That's the only reason they're there. So when you really recognize the problem and get clear on that, the solution is right there. And then, of course, then it leads to natural action. So if that natural action isn't happening, as we sort of, you know, wrap this up on some final thoughts, but if that natural action isn't happening, I think that's what, you know, tells you like the learning is over, you're missing something. There's probably that fear step that's blocking you. Any other final thoughts before we wrap it up?
I just end with a lyric. Easy come, easy go. Freddie Mercury said it best in Bohemian Rhapsody. We're just poor boys from poor families. And that is something that guides us. It's very interesting. I'm in learn mode right now as a result of what we've been talking about here. And then I need to very quickly shift to do mode. And that is the balance. And look at that from a quarterly perspective.
Yeah, I love that. So obviously, you know, as you're listening to this, you know, figuring out how you can apply it to your own life, maybe if you've got a team, how you can help them to maybe unlock some things that might be happening in your own organization. You know, the idea here is you've just learned some stuff. You've been exposed to some new things. Now it's time for you to take action. So that can be working with your team. It can be making decisions and actually taking action on those decisions that you're doing. It could be just talking to somebody else, another entrepreneur about this and sort of discussing it. Obviously, we'd love you to share the podcast that you've heard it on, Business Unfiltered. And you know, leaving us those reviews is amazing. We've got people subscribing to us, which is great. So thank you for that. And people sending us, you know, kind notes on some topics that they want to have covered. We're also open to that to make sure that we're able to help you out with this. But for sure, take action no matter what. And with that, thanks again for sharing, leaving that rating, talking with others about what you learned today, and listening to Business Unfiltered. We'll see you on the next episode.
And that's a wrap for today's episode of Business Unfiltered with your hosts, Mercer and Jeff Sauer. Be sure to subscribe, leave us a review, and tell a friend what you've learned today. Want to connect? Visit us at businessunfiltered.fm.